God is good. Amen? Say, God is good. He's doing so much. In the midst of things. It's almost like sometimes, even when things are bad, you can get to a place where you almost start just, you can almost forget about it sometimes. Amen? Because God's goodness is that good. He'll work in you and He'll give you a direction. We got a bunch of bad news this week, personally in the church and, in New York State, we got just a whole bunch of, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on up there. And I had a moment where I was just like, Jesus, everything falling apart again. And you have this desire. I always get this desire to just like withdraw and, go build a hut somewhere and just live in there and wait for it all to come to pass and just sit there and, take care of my family and everything else. But, and then I was reminded that just within the last few weeks that the Lord had started stirring things in me and that there's some things that I was seeing for the future for both the churches. And I remembered that those things don't just fall flat. If God stirred it in me, there must have been a reason for it. And shoot, if He stirred it in me right before all this happened, maybe that was an anchor to me to get through to the other side. Yeah. And so God will do that a lot of times. He'll give us an anchor, but we don't hold on to the anchor. Sometimes we let the rope go, and then the boat floats away anyways. But He gives us anchors to keep us grounded in the midst of a storm, and I believe that that's what He's doing now. One of the things that the Lord has put on my heart is He's put on my heart, and I haven't even talked to anybody here about it yet. Kind of got distracted towards the end of the week. Like I said, there's a lot going on. But, Lord has put on my heart to start in both churches to set up committees of people that want to reach the area and to come up with ideas and to meet once in a while and to come together with those ideas and let's put it to practice. In fact, even the building funds in both churches, we have those little key, well, out here we have a little box that, for a loose change or whatever to put towards the building. But we're changing those in both churches. We're turning them into a community fund. And what the purpose of that will be whatever the Lord directs on specifically. But it'll be something to reach the community. I know that there's an event that we're probably going to partake in at the end of in the summer coming up in Corey, and that event will be if we partake in it, which I'm pretty sure that we will. Just depends on how the details get ironed out, but it'll be multiple churches coming together doing it. Praise the Lord, and so a community fund could pour into that event, and help do pay for the cost of that. And so, but we'll talk more about that in as we iron the things out and the plans out. Amen. Praise the Lord. But there's some good things happening. Glory to God. And I just believe God for all of that. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, tonight's message is called Why We Need a Body. Hallelujah. Why we need a body. And I'm not talking about your physical body, although it could apply. I mean, in the sense that you need a physical body. I mean, if you don't have a body, your head ain't going to get anywhere. you could roll around on the floor, but how many know that's not always good? You ever looked on the floor and saw something disgusting? If you haven't, you've never been to a place like New York City, but I'm just going to tell you, I don't even like wearing my shoes in New York City. And I don't mean I want to take them off. I just mean I don't want to wear them because it's so gross, the ground and stuff like that. So thank God we have a body to carry our head. Amen. But how many know that there's a body called the body of Christ? Amen. And that body of Christ has a head, and that head is Jesus. Amen. Well, we don't want that head rolling around in the dirt. We don't want that head rolling around in the nastiness on the ground. We want Jesus to reach people in New York City, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Downtown Corey, we'd like people down there to get reach for Jesus, and people that are out in the countryside, go into a farm, and I'd like Jesus to reach people on the farm, but I don't want him rolling around in whatever is on the ground there. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, but we need a body, and the head doesn't just need a body, but the body needs a body. Amen. The arm doesn't get, if there's an arm and a head, it's not going to get far without a torso and legs. Amen. And so we all make up the body, and we're going to be talking about that tonight. Praise the Lord. And getting into some specifics here. Amen. Well, we're going to start over there in Proverbs 11. So why don't we go ahead and turn that in that direction. Proverbs 11. Hallelujah. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Hallelujah. And it says here, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the abundance of counselors, there is victory. But where there's no guidance, the people fall. Now, you know, in context, we do want to keep this in context. The context is not just in the abundance of any kind of guidance. We don't want any kind of counselors. We don't want anybody talking into our life. How many know that you may have a friend that it's good to sit and talk or sit and have coffee with, but not necessarily to help you plan out your life? Have you ever had a friend that maybe you like to talk to, but you wouldn't have them run your finances? Or you wouldn't have them watch your kids? Well, maybe we shouldn't have kids, friends that we can't trust to watch our kids. But, we don't want every kind of counselor. You know, Josh and I were talking before service. We were talking about how neither one of us spends a lot of time watching the news anymore. And we purposely have both done that. In fact, I tuned in today. And when I hear something big has happened, usually I'll tune in. But other than that, I generally don't. Amen. Why do I do that? Because I don't want to be counseled by the news. You know, whatever we put into us, whatever we're hearing, whatever we're listening to over and over and over again, whether you believe so or not, will affect you. I don't care if you don't believe it, it will affect you. And even if you think that it won't, or you think you can keep yourself from it, I have put it to practice, and I'm going to tell you by experience, it will affect you. And of course, the Bible tells us this too. You know, so the intent for the scripture and what it's saying is the abundance of good counselors, godly counselors. We also know, how can we say that? Well, we look at Psalm 1:1, and it says that blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, amen, or stands in the seat of the scornful. Praise the Lord. We know that it's important to have the right kind of people speaking to us. Amen. So why do we need a body? Why does this have anything to do with the body? What do you think the body is? Praise the Lord. The body is meant to be a place where we can come together and grow in faith. You cannot grow in the Lord without the local church. You can't do it. You will be deceived. You will be lost. You will be without counselors. This is just a truth of humanity. We fall into trap. The way that the devil traps people always is he gets them separated, gets them off by themselves. And as soon as he does that, he can have free reign in their lives. Amen. I've seen it too many times. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in countless other lives. We need a body because we need protection. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And when we come together, God is going to bring us together for a purpose. Now, it's not just for protection, but when we come together, we can talk about ideas. When we have fellowship, when we have times of fellowship, and when we hear the word, of course, first and foremost is hearing the word. That's most important, and that's our best counselor. How many know that the Holy Ghost wants to counsel us, but do you know that the Holy Ghost cannot counsel you aside from the word? If you're not feeding on the word, I was talking about feeding on the word. You know, and there's a difference between feeding and just chewing, right? Like if you sat down for every meal and you took a spoonful of your meal and you put it in your mouth and you chewed it up really good and then spit it out, and you did that for the entire meal, you're not going to leave that meal fulfilled, satisfied. You're going to leave hungry. And in that, you're going to not get any nourishment out of your food. Maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit that would trickle down or whatever. But when you eat, you have to sit down and eat, and you have to swallow, and you have to let it digest, and you have to let it become what it's going to become. Amen? Well, the same thing is with the Word of God. We can come sit in church and listen, or we can listen to the Word separately, but unless we're digesting, unless we're chewing and swallowing and digesting what God is teaching us, praise the Lord, it's not going to be any help to us. The Bible tells us that the just man or the just woman lives by faith. Amen? The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So just hearing isn't enough, but hearing the word, and it's not just in the presence of, it's not just in the idea that you could maybe have somebody read you the word, but it's in the, we understand that it's in the expounding of the word, the preaching and the teaching of the word. How do we understand that? Because the Bible tells us so. This is exactly what the early church did. That's why the church became the church. That's why we have church. We understand that this is the church, but we are also the church, and actually more so, we are the church than this building is a church. This building is really the place where the church comes to get together, praise the Lord, in protection, you know, outside of the wind, outside of the snow, in the warmth, glory to God. And we're, you know, and we're excited for that. We're happy for that. But we come together because we need that guidance. We need that camaraderie. We need to understand what's going on. And even more so than that, what keeps us from being deceived is the counsel of multiple counselors. Now, when we come together as a body, you're not all going to teach each other in the sense that you're going to all get up and give a sermon. But what you are going to do is you're going to come and you know, and in this church, if you're not used to it, you might hear people responding to the word. I remember when I was growing up, I grew up in churches that you didn't say nothing during church. In fact, I got shush more than I did anything, amen, when I was growing up in church. But we know that the word teaches us, glory to God, that response is important. Why is response important? Because you're acknowledging the truth of the word. You're saying, yes, I agree with that. Yes, I receive that, or yes, you know, whatever, however you want to look at it. Praise the Lord. In fact, I think it's 1 Corinthians. It tells us the amen is spoken. It might be 2 Corinthians. Don't quote me on it, but you can look it up. The amen is spoken. Amen. And so that's what amen. Actually, the word amen literally means so be it. So when someone says amen, they're saying so be it. It's truth. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so when we come together, you know, there's that encouragement that can happen. Maybe you'll come in here and you'll see a brother or sister that you haven't seen since the last week, and they're going to encourage you in a way, or maybe they're down and you can encourage them. But there's a multitude of counselors. There's that ability to speak into each other's life, and that is an important aspect of the body. Amen. Glory to God. See, I didn't even look at my notes, but right there I have Psalm 1:1, so we might as well go ahead and bring it up. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, I want to pose something to you. Did anyone come in here perfect today? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I don't see any perfect clothes on, you know. What I mean by that is perfect. You didn't wear your perfect. You know what I mean? Because we're human. We didn't come in with our perfect on. Amen? Right. Praise the Lord. The wicked could at times be you. That doesn't just mean somebody is out being evil in the sense that they're out killing puppies or something like that, or, you know, doing evil things. That's not necessarily what the wicked is. Wicked is that, but wicked isn't necessarily Hitler, even though Hitler was wicked. But wicked is just simply, it's doing evil. It's doing the opposite of what God has said to do. It's just sinning. And so if you walk in the counsel of the wicked, you maybe say, well, I'm my own man. I spend my time. I have my time with God. I'm going to, and it's just going to be between me and God. And that's the only church that I need. Well, see, you're already deceived, first of all. But the second thing is that if your thoughts are wicked and you don't have something to compare it to, guess what? You're walking in the counsel of the wicked, even though it's yourself. And the same thing with sinners. The Bible tells us that it's important. In Hebrews 10, was it 10:25, it says that we need to not forsake the assembling together of the brethren, and much more so as the day of Jesus approaches. So now we should be doing it more than they did, but it's a habit of the church in general to not meet as much. And if you look at what this pandemic did, one of the things that it tried to do is shut down the church. Well, a lot of churches are just like, well, we'll just go online. We'll just do it online. And a lot of Christians are perfectly okay with that because I can just sit at home and watch church online. But guess what? It says, do not forsake the assembling together of the brethren. And so we understand that. So then that would be in direct violation of what the Word of God says, which would make you sinning, being a sinner. Amen. And so there again, you'd be walking in the counsel of the wrong person. Amen. And a scoffer is real simple. A scoffer, somebody say, I don't need that stuff. I don't need anybody to teach me. I don't need anybody to tell me. I don't need anybody to help me. That's a scoffer. I don't need what God said. God said it was important, but I don't need to do it that way. I'll do it my own way. Praise God. Hallelujah. And see, it's good sometimes, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I know we don't like it that much in this world that we live in. We kind of made society, so it's kind of gotten away from this. But it's okay sometimes to be told you're stupid. Yeah. It's okay to be said, to have some. I like that, sometimes. The other day, my wife was making a batch of kind of Rice Krispie type of treats, but they weren't Rice Krispies, it was something else, but it's that principle. It was goodness, amen? And she said, can you put out a small piece of a parchment paper, because I'm going to dump this out onto the parchment paper. And so, being the wise guy that I am, I put out a little piece about that big. And then I pulled my camera out and I took a video and she turned around with it, and as soon as she saw that, first she laughed, which blessed me, but then she said, "You're so stupid," she said. And of course that was joking around, but sometimes we need to be told we're stupid, don't we? Amen. I've been told I've been stupid a lot, or just say, maybe you need to adjust this a little bit. I don't know how many times I've walked into church and I've had my mom, my mom's in the nursery tonight, but I've had my mom following behind me going, I got to straighten this. That just happened this morning. I preached a message this morning and my mom was there and she was following behind me. She's like, I got to fix your jacket. I got to take that, get the lint off or something like that, seeing part of me that I didn't see. Glory to God. And so, that we need that for our spiritual life too. Sometimes there's things just, we have to get over this idea that just because we have a thought, it's right. Because the truth of the matter is, most thoughts that I have aren't right. I've learned that over and over again. I'm just going to tell you the truth. And in fact, the Bible tells us that we need to transform our thoughts. But how are we going to do that if we think that everything we do is good? If we think everything we do is right? You see, we need something to compare it to. And of course, the Word, originally God sent the law because people didn't know that they were sinning. That's why the law came. The law, the Old Testament law, where they had to follow this and that, and the Ten Commandments and all that good stuff. The law came because we didn't know that we were walking or that we were sitting in the seat of scoffers. Yeah. We didn't know that we were taking the counsel of the wicked or the path of sinners. We didn't know that before the law. And so sometimes we need this direction. So why do we need a body? We need a body because God has made us part of this body. To get fed these things. Amen. I've often say this when I think about the body. You often say it a lot. If I took my big toe and I separated it from the rest of my body and I threw it over there in the corner, it's not going to live very long. And it's not going to do very good. It's not going to bode very well. There's a reason that Jesus called us a body. There's a reason he made us a body. Because without the connection to the rest of the body, there's no life. Amen? Praise the Lord. And it's not so much even that we're connected to any old body, because any old body isn't good either. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, that's not a good body? We've all probably done that, amen? Or you look at somebody and say, that's a really good body, I'm not telling you to go to the beach and look, but there's people that go to the beach and, they weightlift and stuff like that, and you're like, man, I wish my body looked like that body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We don't always get to pick our body, though. I know people that can eat fast food nonstop and not gain a pound. I so much as smell a cheeseburger from McDonald's and there's five. Hallelujah. It's just the way that it is. And so I have to limit those things. If I even think donut, there's a couple ounces. Amen. It just happens that way in me. And so I have to work diligently to keep that off. That's the body I've been given. I have to deal with that. Amen. Some people genetically, they may have high cholesterol, or they might be genetically disposed to this or that, And they may not like it, but that's the body. But see, that's the same thing with the body that God connects us with. And what we have to do is we have to seek the Lord and say, Lord, what body am I supposed to be connected to? But you can't do that if you don't know that you're supposed to be connected to a body. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. God has brought us together for a body. I sit here and I keep quoting. You got to understand, now I wrote this sermon probably 3-4 days ago. And in the 3-4 days since then, I've written two other sermons. And I've had two deaths that I've had to deal with, and three deaths that I have had to deal with. One was a dog, but it was still a death. It wasn't mine, but it was, you know, dealing with the people and helping and stuff like that, and emotions and stuff like that. But there's just a lot of things that are going on. Amen. There's a lot of things that have been happening, and so I thank God that the Lord had delivered me this message then. Hallelujah, because I never even expected my Friday to turn out like my Friday did. I say all that to say this, because I keep quoting the scriptures that I wrote down and forgot that I had written them down. So how good is God for that too? Turn with me to Hebrews 10:23. Glory to God. Amen. So you already preached on this. You don't have to go back to it. Yeah, we do, because we got to see it. Amen. Help us to see the word. That's why we put it up, and that's why we look at it all over. We're going to actually get into more of it, though, anyway, so. Praise God, hallelujah. Hebrews 10:23. We're part of a body. Why do we need a body? Hallelujah. You know, the other thing is, and I love this as a pastor, I don't ever know what the week is going to look like. I don't ever know what the service is going to look like. I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know, you know, I don't know what kind of things are going on out there that are going to affect what goes on in here. I just show up with what I show up with. You know, and really that's the life of faith, is that we just go through life and we just expect that God's going to speak to us. He's going to help us. And I say that to say this, because I know that in any given message I'm preaching, I know that it affects people and that it touches people in a certain way. And I also know that there's a temptation sometimes to say, well, that's hitting me pretty hard because, you know, maybe this is something I'm dealing with. But I'm here to encourage you that that's God's way of protecting us and helping us to teach us. Amen? Because he's putting things in us. And it just, it blesses me so much to see that all the time. Nonstop. I see it in my own life. I see it in other people's lives. Glory to God. Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. The confession of our hope is the confession. It's the outward expression of our expectation of God. Whenever we see hope in the Bible, it can always be translated. It's not just like, oh, I hope that will happen, but it can always be translated expectation. That's the kind of hope that it is. You know, if you're expecting something to happen, you're hopeful is what, you know, we would use that phrase. And so when the Bible sees that, and I always like to pull that out because that's one of those things, that's one of those little bits of knowledge that changed my life. Glory to God. As someone taught me the word, when I understand every time I read hope in here that it's expectation, amen, I can point to it and say this, I can understand it in that place. But let us hold fast. In other words, let us hold to it, not let go of it, keep it with everything that's in you. You know, we were, of course, we all were experienced wind. And for as strong as the wind was down here, I'm just telling you, it's nothing compared to where we came from. I mean, it was crazy, crazy, crazy at our house. But even more so, just before we came to church, we decided to dip down by the lake real quick, Lake Erie, and because when it's windy like that, you know there's going to be something good going on down there. And there was. If you want to see the video afterwards, I can show you, but it was nuts. I mean, the water, the level of the lake on this side of the lake just today because of the wind was up probably about 4 or 5 feet from where it usually is. So when you think about that, 4 or 5 feet is quite, that's all being blown this way. Amen. And the reason I bring that up is because I was going to roll down the window and take a video, and my wife, I did, and then my wife said, "Oh, leave it down." I said, "I can't because it's going to, like, all the stuff is going to come in the car." Amen. And you know that wind. The reason I bring that up is because of the idea of holding fast. You know, she was talking about how eerie it is. You know, it's like there's a little bit, it's kind of apocalyptic feeling, and there's a little bit of like, you're going to blow away. And that's, you know, what do you want? What do you do when that happens? You want to just like hunker down and just kind of grab onto something and, you know, get into a safe position. Well, really, when we look at holding fast, that's what it is. It's like grabbing that thing because it can be taken from you, and you're going, and that's why the Bible would tell us, or the authors would tell us to hold fast to something, because it's something that can be removed from us quite easily. And here it instructs us to hold fast our confession of our hope. And so we have to hold fast to the fact that we have started confessing. You know, if you confess, what does that mean? It means that we've talked, okay, I've received Jesus as my Savior. He is my Lord. He's the one I'm following. I got to hold on to that. I've got to hold on to the truth of the word. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And it says, without wavering. And then he guarantees this. He throws this guarantee out there. For he who promised is faithful. See, you know, the winds of life are going to blow. In fact, Jesus talked about that when he talked about the house built on the sand. You just watched it probably about 10 minutes. I'm going to be going to the scripture. I don't really think I'm going to do that, but we might. Amen. It's just the way it goes. But, you know, he talked about that, the house that was built on the sand, the house that was built on the rock. And the thing he said about both of them is he said the wind started blowing. The wind started coming. And he said the houses were shaken. Of course, the house on the sand that wasn't built on something solid, that wasn't founded, that wasn't being held fast to the ground, was the one that collapsed. But the one that was founded on the rock, the one that was founded on Jesus, the one that had the expectation of his faithfulness, glory to God, that's the one that stood. And guess what the house is? Jesus wasn't talking about buildings. He was talking about you. He was talking about me. He said, if you want to last through the storm, if you want to stay standing when the wind blows, you're going to have to be built on something that's a little bit stronger than your ideas. You're going to have to be built on something that's a little bit stronger than what the rest of the world is. Because sometimes God lets the winds blow. And he lets the winds blow because he's going to blow away the chaff, the Bible says. If you don't know what the chaff is the useless part of the grain. Yeah. Amen? The Bible says he's going to, with a winnowing fan, he's going to blow it away. He's going to blow it into the fire. Glory to God. He's going to get rid of that which is worthless, that which is useless. We don't want to be useless Christians, do we? We don't want to be people that aren't used. We want to be people what God wants to gather around and to keep. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's hold fast to that. But verse 24 is a very important verse. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. This is one of the most important parts and aspects in why God has called us together. Number one, you will be, you can be lost, or you can be, you can go off and just think, what's a big deal if one person leaves? Well, they were part of the body. Right. You know, you might not use your fingernails all the time, but you're glad you got them when you need them. Amen. Yep. Amen. You might not use your big toe all the time, but you're glad you got it when you do, when you need it. Same thing with the little toe. I'll tell you what, little toe, you might even completely forget you have it until you walk by a bed. Yeah. Has anyone done that? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, actually, my friend Pastor Scott, he's preached here before. He, he just recently did that, broke his little toe walking by his bed. And when he told me about that, everything in my body went, oh, ow, ooh, I felt it. Oh, I felt it, because you know how it feels if you've ever done it. But you know, that's exactly what the point is. He's brought us, we have to consider one another. You know, if we're truly God's people, the Bible tells us in 1 John, if we were truly God's people, you will love the brethren. If you truly are. I don't want to come out on a Saturday night, I'll just be honest with you. I don't want to get up on a Sunday morning and go to church. I don't want to go to church at all sometimes. It's just in my natural flesh, I don't want to. I'd rather do other things. You know, it's a lot easier to go out and do what I want to do, but I'm going to tell you something. There's people that rely on me coming. You know, I said this, we had a men's breakfast this morning in Mayville, and I said this at the men's breakfast. I said, you know, people don't often think about it, but what would happen if my wife and I just didn't show up for the next month? What would happen to the church? But see, people somehow in the church, they feel like they're lesser important than that, but you're not. We're all part of the same body. And just because you might be a different part of the body doesn't mean we don't need you. And the Bible says that if you're truly God's, you'll love the brethren. And if you love the brethren, you'll think about the brethren. And he says, let us consider one another, or how to stir up, to stimulate one another. So when we come, we have to come with this idea that we have an expectation of a supply that we bring for one another. If people would come to church with that realization, you'd come to church differently. You'd come to church more excited. You'd come to church more stirred up. You'd come to church more excited, more just, you know, on fire, because you know that what you're doing is adding. You know, I love whenever we have a campfire or something like that. What does everybody want to do? Everybody wants to put something in it. Why do they want to put something in it? Because they want to see it burn. They want to be part of making that fire burn. Amen. Well, what do you think the local church is? This is a campfire, folks. And you're part of making that fire burn. And so, you know, we can sit around and we can have a good time, just a few of us. We can sit around here just having a good time by ourselves, just adding to that fire. But you can partake of that too. And be blessed by the warmth. Be blessed by the cooking ability of it. Be blessed by the fact it's just burning. You know, you just set anything on fire, people come watch it. Well, what do you think will happen to a church that's on fire? Why do we need a body? We need a place to come burn. Yeah. We need a place to be, to allow God to do within us what He wants to do. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, verse 25. I don't think we've heard this before. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And then we see that again. That's love for the brethren. Encouraging one another. Do you know there's some brothers and sisters in here this week who had a bad day? I know it. I know it because I know it naturally. But at any given point, you can probably say, there's some people in here that had a bad day. You see, it's very selfish for us to come to church and just be like, well, I'm there when I want to be, or I'm there when it suits me, but not adding to that. That's what it is. It's selfishness. And I'm not calling you selfish if you don't, you know, if you miss it or whatever. That's not my point in saying these things. My point in saying these things is to help us understand that God has called us to be part of a body, not to be alone. See, alone you're destroyed. You will never be blessed outside of the body of Christ. You won't be. You can't be. God cannot bless rebellion. I said God cannot bless. He will not bless rebellion. He's not going to do it. And so if you're in rebellion, guess what you don't get? God's blessing. So you'll pray and your prayers won't go anywhere. I'm just telling you, I know it for a fact. Yeah. And you cannot believe it, but you can watch and see your own life what happens if you do the opposite. Now, you're all sitting here, I'm sure you're probably thinking, well, Pastor Jeff, I am here. Yeah. You're right. I'm just encouraging you. Yeah. Amen? There's a whole group of people that aren't here right now that should be. Yeah. Well, who are they? I don't know, but they're not here. Right. You see, there's empty seats around you, right? We didn't put this many seats in here because we only wanted a few of them filled. Right. We put this many seats in here because there was room, space to fill. Yeah. And with an expectation that it would. Yeah. Glory to God. And you know, if you want to be a real good church person, you know that you like your seat. Yeah. You know when you come to church, you want your seat. Yeah. Well, how would you feel if you missed out a little bit and somebody else came and took your spot? You don't want to do that. So you better protect your ground. That's all I'm saying. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like we come together for a purpose, and we allow God to work this in us, and this is how He's going to do it. But He cannot bless rebellion. He cannot bless us outside of what He's doing. And what God is doing always emanates from the local church. He starts it here and goes out there. Now, you know, He does that in various ways, but every great thing that the Lord does, He does through a body. Praise the Lord. He never does through just an individual. You know, even Jesus, when Jesus was here, he said, well, Jesus did a lot of stuff. Yeah, he did a lot of stuff. But didn't he also send a lot of people out? He could have kept them around, but he said he could have kept them around. We weren't there, so we can't really know. But can you imagine that probably the most effective teacher, preacher of the word was probably the Son of God? Yeah. I mean, I'm imagining, right? I'm imagining that nobody, like, is there anybody that would sit in one of Jesus' sermons and go, I mean, I don't know if God really meant that, Jesus. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. He only did what God told him to do. And so I would imagine Jesus was the best preacher. But even that being the case, he said, you go, you go, you go. And then he told the rest of us, he said, and it's better that I go, because if I don't go, the Comforter won't come, the Holy Spirit, the one who's going to teach, the one who's I'm going to put in all of you, and then you go. So Jesus could have said, I mean, God made everything, right? Oldest man in the Bible. Does anyone know how old they were? 969 years old, Methuselah. Adam wasn't far behind. Methuselah was 969 years old. If somebody came to you today and said, I'm 969 years old, would you believe them? Probably not. I wouldn't believe them either. But do we believe the Bible is true? I mean, I do. I don't know if you do. But if the Bible is true, that means that God somehow enabled one man to live 969 years old. Could he have not preserved Jesus for 2,000 years? Could he have not preserved, could he have not put Jesus on the earth at creation right next to Adam and say, hey, I'm just going to be here right along? He could have. But that's not how God decided to do things. He chose to do things through humanity, through the body. And guess what you are? You're part of the body. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I remember a sister in the faith when once we were hearing a message on preaching. You know what I'm going to talk about? you will in a minute. But a sister in the faith said, nobody wants to be the rear end. But we know it's important, don't we?
Yeah.
Amen. That stops working, right? Everything else gets poisoned. Nobody wants to do the dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. And, you know, regardless, I'm not calling any of your rear ends. I believe you're all, you know, you all be something real good, whatever you want to be. I don't know. But the you don't know, you know, we don't always want to be that. But the point is, it's important. And so we have to understand that the body is just, it works that way. Amen? Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Praise the Lord. So if there's nothing else you take out of the sermon, you can take home and say, Pastor Jeff preached on don't be a butt. Or you can be a butt. But. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to stop there with the jokes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Second Timothy. I said 2 Timothy, then I said 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. Hallelujah. Now, in case you didn't know, 2 Timothy is written to a pastor. But how many know that pastors are called to be an example to the flock?
Yeah.
That's our job. We're supposed to be a model of what God wants to do in all of us. How many know that when I first came into the church, I was not effective at anything? And then God did things in me to make me effective as a pastor, but it took work to get me there. Amen? He had to work things into me and he had to take things out of me. Glory to God. And so that's what we need. But when we know that, we can say the instruction to a pastor can apply to the Christian, especially when we look at it in context. It says here, starting in verse 1, 2 Timothy 4:1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, even if you don't believe any of that applies to you, you can at least understand this, that this is instruction to a pastor to preach in such a way that it gets things over to people, because there is coming a time, and folks, I'm telling you, we're in that time. There is coming a time where people will not endure sound doctrine. That's doctrine that is good, that is based in truth, that is based in the word, that is based in what the Lord taught, glory to God, and what the Lord wants. But look at this. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. I don't want to go to that church. I want to go to this church. Because I like what they say better, or I like the worship better. What are you doing? Tickling ears.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you want. It doesn't matter where you want to go. It matters where God has called you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, I talk about, or I'm going to bring this up just because I think it's an interesting thing. You know, Carrie and Joel Davison and Annalise, they started, and I said, well, praise the Lord, it doesn't matter. They started in the Mayville Church several years ago. And when they started in the Mayville Church, it wasn't long that they were in there, they started getting faithful, that I started realizing, I think that they're called to Corey. I think they're supposed to be in Corey. But what I didn't do, because I didn't want to lead people, because when you know when you have to do something for the Lord, you need to know that you're called to do it. Because if you don't, when the attack comes, it's going to all fall apart. You're going to say, "Well, he told me to do this, and I never think I was supposed to, anyways." Amen. So I purposely didn't say anything, but I knew it, and I talked to my wife about it. Do you know that several years went past? Now, this isn't their fault. This was just the Lord showing me ahead of time. I believe it happened in the right season. Yeah. But several years passed, and we were having dinner with them, and they brought up to, I think maybe Joel did, or they did together. I can't remember exactly how it came about, but they said, Joel said it to me. He said, "We think that we're supposed to go to the Corey Church," or something to that nature. And I said, "It's really interesting that you say that, because for several years, that exact thing has been on my heart and my wife's heart." And she knew it too. Yeah. Amen. See, that was a case of God showing them where they were called and what they were called to do. And Carrie could tell you that since in that time, you know, there's been lots of times where they've had opposition to things. There's been lots of things they've tried to, you know, whatever, whether it was a loss of a job or something like that, you know, anything that was trying to bring opposition into their life to pull them out of God's plan, because that's what the devil does. But when you know you're in God's plan, you can rejoice and hold fast your confession. Amen? Because if God has called you somewhere, He has also supplied you in that place. Now, I bring that up, not to point them out, Carrie. I hope I didn't embarrass you or anything. But I point it out to show you just exactly how the process works. You know, and I can give you thousands of examples from my own life, but it helps sometimes when we can see in our other brothers and sisters, listen, you know, this is what they were called to do. Or, this is how God worked in them, and for us to see that. But embracing that and knowing that there's a call is the thing that will carry them through to the place where they walk in the fullness of what God has for them. Amen? Glory to God. Now they get the same teacher, which is good, or the same preaching, which is helpful to them. Amen? It's helpful for us too, because we didn't lose somebody, we just transplanted them. Amen? Now we got two arms on the right side. Or so, right side. Amen? Hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. It's each place, piece is in their place for a purpose. Amen? But we're not just looking to have our ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. How many things are we to be sober in? All things. Sobriety is a part of life that we need to, listen, we need to think soberly. We need to be sober. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Endure hardship. Glory to God. That's not something we love, but it just says to do it anyway, so we might as well. Do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. Glory to God. There is a time, and the time is upon us. We see that where, you know, there's so much going on. You can get online and you can hear. And really, I believe that the scripture was really talking about this time. Although this has happened many times throughout history in a measure, it certainly has happened in a great measure in this time of history. Like we're seeing so much where, you know, you can go on YouTube and you can find somebody who can prove what you believe, and you can find somebody to disprove. Prove it. And then you'll find somebody else to prove it and disprove it. Yeah. And if you're wishy-washy, you'll look at one and you'll say, "Oh, I guess it's not true." And then you'll look at another one and you say, "Well, maybe it is true." And then you'll look at, no. See, the Lord wants to teach us, but He does so through the veins in which He decides. And you know, there will be emphasis in certain places that will pertain to your life that won't be in other places. Sure. Glory to God. That's why we need to know from the Lord where we're supposed to be. But once we know where we're supposed to be, The deciding of where we're supposed to be is not our job. Learning what it is our job, and then staying with it is our job, but just the deciding of it is not. And that's why we seek the Lord and put it before Him. Lord, where would you like me to be? And we don't have to go, once we know, we don't have to go to God every week and say, "Well, I didn't like what Pastor said this week, so we need to look and see." You know, it doesn't matter. Was what I said the truth or wasn't it? You know, I say this all the time, but if people put the same amount of criticism on a place like Walmart that they do the local church, Walmart would go out of business. Yeah. They'd say, "Ah, you know, the local church is just full of hypocrites." Have you been to Walmart lately? Yeah, absolutely. They said something I didn't like at church this week. You ever been to Walmart? You ever talk to anybody? I remember I was telling some people today, I remember when the pandemic first was a thing and they were opening stores back up and whatever, I was in Home Depot and I remember that there was this Home Depot employee at the checkout line, this Home Depot employee and this and they were arguing over something. But it was really distracting and very, I will just say this, I was glad I wasn't part of it. Amen. It was very loud, very uncomfortable, made everybody else uncomfortable. But it was this argument, this fight that was going back. Like, listen, I never treat people that bad in church. Hallelujah. I'm never fighting you. I'm always trying to help people, but still people will look at you and they'll be like, oh, well, he said something I didn't like. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes it'll be stuff that you don't even know that you said. I remember there's people come to me over the years, not even as a pastor, just in the churches, and they said, so-and-so said this to me, and I didn't like what they said, and I was like, listen, I know that brother or sister, and I'm going to guarantee you that there's something just off in the translation, because they wouldn't do that to somebody. Not purposely. I mean, maybe something was going on with them or something, but they just wouldn't do it. You know, we have to give people a little bit of leeway. You know what I mean? If I say something stupid once in a while, maybe you don't like the word that I use. Well, that's fine. I probably won't use it every time. And if I do, pray to God and He'll help me get it worked out of me. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, you should be praying for your pastor anyways. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm the one who's serving up the meal. Amen? Glory to God. You can't say nothing about the meal. You can't do nothing about not preparing the meal. You know what I mean? You can't be like, well, I'm not going to invest in the meal. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to let somebody bring it to me, and they better bring me what I like. But never go to the Lord and say, Father, I pray that tonight, as Pastor Jeff speaks, he speaks as the oracles of God. Why do I got to pray that prayer? I shouldn't be the only one praying that prayer. You should be praying that. You should come with the expectation. As you're coming, you should look at your spouse if you got one. And if you do, that's great. If you don't, well, that's great too. Praise the Lord. But if you just look at the person next to you you're riding with and you say, you know something? We're going to receive something tonight. I'm trusting God to bring us what we need to hear. If you need to hear something, it's not all up to me. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I don't know what you need. You know, so you could come to me with this. I just, as a pastor, I've had this happening another thing a gazillion times. People come to me with a situation, and the first thing I think when people come to me with a situation is almost always the same thing, and that's I have no idea without even answer them. Yeah. But then I trust the Lord, I believe God, that He'll give me the answers to help them. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You don't want me coming up with your help. Because I screwed a lot of things up in life. I'm just here to tell you. And so if you're coming to me for advice because you want my advice. Now, if you want my advice on certain things, there's certain things I could probably advise you on just out of the flesh, and that would be fine. But when you want to come to church with an expectation, Lord, I'm coming to be part of the body, to be connected, to get fed tonight. I want the nourishment that I need. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Church would be a lot different if all Christians would do that. See, if Christians would stop complaining. I'm not saying everybody in here is complaining. I don't think anybody in here is complaining. As far as I know, nobody's complained to me this week, and that's pretty good. Hallelujah. It's pretty nice not to be complaining. None of you have called me up. Maybe you've talked about me behind my back, but if you did, you did it in such a way that I don't know, and I'm happy about that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because if you're going to talk behind my back, do it. Don't talk behind my back, but you know what I'm saying. Praise God, hallelujah. It's a lot nicer than to hear bad things about yourself all the time. I mean, nobody wants to do that, but, you know, glory to God. That's why church, that's why God, the Holy Ghost, He's so good, because He deals with us anonymously. Yeah. See, if you sit there and smile, I have no idea how bad you're acting. I have no idea how bad you're sinning. You sit there and smile, you just come and you just throw out the occasional amen. Praise the Lord. Everything is fine as far as I know. Amen. But the Holy Ghost will deal with me as I minister, will deal with any person who is called to minister, will deal with them on the things that people need. And so if I'm saying this, somebody needs it. Maybe we all need it. And maybe we're all doing it, but we need to be reminded of it and stirred up again. Because I don't know about you, but I've learned one thing in life, and that's it. Even when I know something, I have to be reminded about how good it is sometimes. Amen. Praise God. We're going to close here. Turn with me to Romans 10. Romans 10. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. Romans 10, 13. Whoever will call upon the name of Jesus, name of the Lord, will be saved. That's an awesome scripture. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord. But you realize that this isn't just talking about getting saved for eternity? I mean, it does apply to that, certainly. But this is, do you know Jesus was the one who told us that we should pray? Right? Yeah. Jesus said you should pray. Do you know that Jesus was the one that told us that we should pray with expectation? Not just pray with hope that it might happen, but pray with expectation that God will answer us because he desires to answer us. Yeah. It was Jesus that taught us that, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord obviously wanted us to know this. But that salvation is in whatever we are to cry out to God for. Yeah. Amen. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Now that applies to us all individually. Somebody needs to proclaim the gospel to us. Somebody needs to teach us. Somebody needs to preach to us. Now we could and should absolutely read the word ourselves and have God talk to us that way, and he will. Because that's how we grow, is when we take it further, when we take it home and do the homework. Amen? But we need to hear it. But it takes it further. How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. How will they preach unless they are sent? You know something that this administration, the administration, the presidential administration, the Biden administration, do you know something they're not doing? They're not sending preachers out in the world to preach the good news of the gospel. Not doing it. The Wolf administration, is that who the governor of Pennsylvania still is? Governor Wolf? Tom Wolf? Praise the Lord. You know what that administration is not doing? It's not sending the gospel or preachers out into the world to preach the gospel. Do you know what any Republican or Democrat or anybody else that is in office is not doing? They're not doing that. They're not sending preachers out. Do you know what the average person in downtown Cory or sitting in the houses there tonight, or most people probably that you'll see at Walmart or Home Depot or wherever you go, do you know what they're not doing? They're not sending preachers out. Right. Who does that? It's the body. Why do we need the body? Because it's the body that does the work of the Lord. Unless people are willing to send, I can't do it on my own. I could have come down here with my family, but I still needed people to be able to proclaim the gospel. Now, you can minister to people here and there, but you can't run an effective ministry with just one person. We need a body. And so we have to understand that when we're called together, that we're called together to do the work of the Lord as a body. We can't do it being solo. We can't do it being separate. And what we do is we disconnect ourselves from that place where the nourishment, where the life feeding is. God does, his spirit works through the body. It works through the body of believers as they come together in unity. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. And this is just a principle. It's all through the word. Of course, it's all the way back in the beginning. God has called us to do it, and he's called us to do it together. Amen? So why do we need a body? We need a body to be right with God. You can't be right with God without a body. And so just remember that. If you're separated from your body for a length of time, that's your lifeblood oozing out of you that you're feeling. And if you don't get connected, you'll lose it. You'll lose what you have. Amen? So when we connect, I'm going to close with this idea. I know I said close with the scripture. I was closing this section of this service with the scripture. But what we need is we need to connect to the local body in our hearts and say, I want to be part of what God is doing. Amen? And when we do that, that's when the power of God shows up. That's when lives get changed. That's when we see what God really wants to do. Amen?